The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter with Adrian Jackson and David Parkinson.
Well, Parky, Wembley might be done and dusted. Warrington upsetting St Helens, getting the hands on the Challenge Cup.
Super win that as well for Warrington, by the way.
Heat. Sheffield getting their hands on the first ever 1895 Cup final.
Will it be the first and last, or do you reckon we'll see a return?
I hope it stays around. Mark Aston reckons it should stay around.
I think it should. Yeah, because you're getting players who will never ever get the chance to play at Wembley. Going there, aren't you? Which is superb.
Yeah, big day out for them. Could do with maybe changing the kickoff time.
Yeah, I agree with you fully there.
But St Helens are not happy though, are they? They're still moaning about the refereeing decisions that were made on the day.
Listen.
Get over it, St Helens.
A try that doesn't stand in the third minute does not decide a game.
Just when you thought it all died down.
Yep.
Eamon McManus pipes up a week later and still criticising the referee. What's going on? Get over it, Eamon. It's gone. Yeah. He's not going to change his mind. He's not going to say, hang on a minute. Let's go back to the video referee decision and we'll overturn it. It's gone. Get over it.
I think it was a combination of some of his other comments as well, which, the rugby league themselves have reported were unfounded and contained inaccuracies, which is... I've got to compliment the rugby league here, by the way, because over the last few weeks, they have released various statements as a result of certain actions that have gone on in the sport. And they've been really good. They've been really wordy. And they've explained their position, I think, quite succinctly as well.
I thought Robert Hicks had a decent game, actually.
I'll be honest.
Despite what Eamon McManus and the rest of the St Helens fans might think.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I mean, I know Rob. Rob's a personal friend. I'm glad I can say that.
You can.
But, you know, I would certainly give him sort of like 75, 80 out of 100. I thought he had a really good game.
He did.
And you look back and, okay, that's one decision. He's got to make 20,000 decisions over the course of a game in a full 80 minutes. So, you know, that didn't decide the game. What decided the game was Warrington's defence and their will and want. And they deservedly overturned St Helens. And you know what? I feel I've got to hold my hand up and say, apologies, Warrington, I didn't give you a chance.
Nobody did.
I didn't give you a chance.
Nobody did. Certainly when he lined up with Ben Curry at standoff, everyone thought, no, it's not going to work. Not going to work. But defensively, Warrington was spot on. Welcome to the final hooter. It is the LoveRugbyLeague.com podcast. Thanks very much to Radio General for letting us use the studio.
We're sounding good today, got to say that.
We are, yeah.
Yeah, you've got the tones right. The tones are perfect.
We're basking in the glory of what was a good day out at Wembley.
It was. You look like you're still sporting a suntan.
Oh, it's warm, wasn't it?
It was definitely warm.
100 degrees when that game kicked off. And even when Widnes and Sheffield kicked off at 5:30, it was still about...
Still 80.
Still hovering around between 90 and 95 degrees.
Oh, jeepers.
It was roasting.
That is what you call roasting, yeah. I'm surprised any of the players didn't come off actually, with sort of glorious technical suntans.
We're not being that professional tonight, by the way. We've forgotten all the audio.
No,
so
we haven't
gotten the audio. So we're just talking.
You don't go and tell them that.
We're going to use our knowledge and just talk about it.
Oh, this could be the shortest show record, then we're both using our knowledge.
Yeah, without doubt. Okay, then let's talk about the Challenge Cup. Saints, red hot favourites. Warrington going into it off the back of some poor league form, expecting to lose heavily without the Austin in the team. But what a defensive performance it was from the Warrington Wolves, and the energy from, like I said, Darrell Clark and Jack Hughes, it was just too much for St Helens to deal with.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think that you look at the stats from the game. Warrington made 336 tackles, apparently missed 51 as well. I'll be honest, I didn't see him missing that many tackles, in all truth. And according to this, Mike Cooper missed 10 tackles. I'm not having that. He's got up there, he stopped.
Was it a St Helens fan who was doing the stats?
You know, I've no idea. But I mean, the real key. I thought there was four key performances, to be honest, from a Warrington point of view. I thought Stephen Ratchford was excellent at the back and moved into standoff as and when. You already mentioned him, but the fact that Jack Hughes also got in there, did
he
a bit of standoff.
He just literally stood alongside Johnny Lomax all match.
Yeah, he shadowed him, didn't he? Wherever he went,
you were my shadow. You were my shadow, he was.
I've also got to praise and give credit to both wingers. Both wingers were really, really good for Warrington. Not particularly in them looking sparkling and looking like they were going to score tries, but the amount of work that they did. Tom Lynham made 25 carries, Josh Charlie made 24 carries, but it would be remiss of me not to mention Darrell Clark, who was absolutely out of this world, deservedly walked away.
Well, he summed up the energy and the effort from the Primrose and Blue with that late tackle on Regan Grace.
Yeah, he did, and it was a flying challenge as well, wasn't it? And when you would have expected Regan Grace to have scored that, because he's been in that position so many times over the course of the season. And while we're on about defensive efforts, what about that one when Tommy Makinson looks set to dive in from the pet play that St Helens loved to put down the right-hand side? And I think it was Bryson Goodwin, wasn't it? Flung himself at him, dislodged the ball, brilliant.
I just thought the big guns for St Helens never turned up. Roby didn't look like he was at the races for me, and Lachlan Coote stunt the ground out.
Yeah, it's funny that you mentioned that with Lachlan Coote. I mean, yeah, he did. He made sort of three or four glaring errors, it would be fair to say, which, highlights probably why he wasn't fully fit. He still made 140 metres, though, carrying the ball.
Right.
But you're right, didn't quite get as involved. I think also as well, a lot's always been said about Morgan Knowles and how Morgan Knowles is a fantastic player.
Right.
I'm looking at his stats here. He did 52 tackles, so fair play to him on the defensive side.
Okay.
But he only took the ball in four times. Now, this is a player that's been called up into the Great Britain squad. Is that the type of player that we should be having in? A guy that won't actually take the ball in, but does loads of tackles?
No, you want a worker, don't you?
Well, I mean, he's a worker.
You want an all-round worker.
But you want all-round, don't you?
Yeah.
You know, not just put a defender in. So this is why I've compared him on social media and took a little bit of flack, to be honest, from some St Helens fans. But I'm going to say it here as well. I think he's a bit of a modern-day Mick Cassidy. He's Morgan Knowles.
Okay.
I liken the sort of work ethic amongst it. And the fact that you'd look down and Mick Castile have done you 40 or 50 tackles in a game. You're right with some of the other big guns didn't show up. I thought that, Walmsley wasn't quite as effective. James Roby looked, we've got a saying in Lee, pow fagged.
What's that mean?
Absolutely shattered.
All right, okay.
Come the end.
Right.
65 tackles, 9 carries of the ball. Usually we expect almost double that from Roby. Only ran from dummy half as well once all game.
That shows you the difference between the teams, because Darrell Clark constantly kept on going from dummy half and having St Helens on the back foot. Felt as well as the game progressed, key turning point was when Saints did get over the try line. They missed a conversion.
Yeah, that was
so
a howler,
wasn't
it? So
you can see the body language amongst the red and whites. They put all that energy in to try and get a try on the board, thinking they convert this, with one converted try away. And when he missed it, you could see him go, oh, we've got to do it again.
And
two tries. It's 100 degrees.
To be honest as well, 12-0 at half-time, St Helens go on control the next 20 minutes. And yet, that Warrington defence, like we said, only concedes once. That is phenomenal. But yet, there did seem to be a bit of a, almost a resigned to the defeat then, wasn't there, once that kick didn't go over.
And when they got desperate, they were trying things that wasn't really on. It just never worked for them.
I mean, generally, you look at a game and you look at how stats work out, and the team that runs for most metres, makes the most breaks and throws the most passes usually wins the game. Didn't happen here. Didn't happen here at all. Now, that came because of a will and a want, and the fact as well that St Helens made 18 errors. Some of those, like you said, came in that last 20 minutes, didn't they, when they were under a bit of pressure. They were trying to play and trying to get on the outside of Warrington. But I just thought Warrington were excellent. They just demoralised St Helens with that defence all the way through.
Keeping you up to date with everything rugby league, this is the Final Hooter on Radio General. Keeping you up to date with everything rugby league, this is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
Right then, the Super League boys in St Helens and Warrington and the fans had the 80 minutes of glory.
Yep.
Or heartbreak in the Challenge Cup final for 2019. And then, I did a little interview with Mark Aston after the game actually, and he turned around and said that he felt the Super League guys did it okay as a precursor for the main event, which was Widnes versus Sheffield.
Yeah, I've also gone on record.
I like that.
I've also gone on record elsewhere that it was a good precursor, wasn't it, to the main event.
It was always going to happen, wasn't it? The Super League, the losing team from the cup final, they were going to leave the exits within 5 minutes of the game finishing. And then the Warrington fans went off into London to celebrate, or even go home celebrating within 20 minutes of the Widnes game starting.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, to be honest, Adrian. And they do, it's something that if they're going to continue with this concept, which I think is a fantastic one, they do need to look at the scheduling, shall we say.
Yeah, I know a lot's been made about it, right? But I actually went round and sat with the Widnes fans for this one, in the first half anyway.
They were very noisy.
And you know what, right? Even though there was still a few fans hanging about who just might have a bit of a curiosity for, let's have a look at this one. And because a lot of the Super League fans had left the building, because there's a bit of snobbery, isn't there? Super League fans won't watch a championship event.
So it would seem. Otherwise, there would have been far more people that would have.
Exactly. It didn't help with the fact St. Anne's coaches were leaving at 6 o'clock.
And that wouldn't have
been. Kicked off at half past 5. Not sure what time the Warrington coaches were leaving, by the way, but I know St. Anne's were leaving at 6. But it felt more like an event with it just being the Widnes and Sheffield fans in there. It really did, and it was a great atmosphere despite the fact there was only about 7,000 or 8,000 fans in the ground.
Gotta say, Adrian, it was a great game as well. I mean,
wasn't it?
I think whilst we rightfully praised the defensive attitude of both the Super League sides in the Challenge Cup final, this saw some great attack. I really enjoyed it.
It was off the cuff, a bit more flow to it, wasn't there? Whereas I felt the Challenge Cup final at times was a bit stop start, and no one could get any real flow to the action,
and a bit sterile as well.
Yeah, where it was like Sheffield and Widnes were throwing the ball around all over the place. Sheffield scored a try there. Try the season.
Was that the one by Corey Makelin where they made that break after
the passes left and right just after the half time break?
Yeah, absolutely fantastic. I mean, they scored some tremendous tries, didn't they? I mean, you look at it, and it gave some players that we don't often hear about in rugby league.
Andy Fackie just rolled the ears back.
But it gave them the chance to really step up and make a name for themselves. So you rightfully mentioned Anthony Thackeray, who walked away with the very first Ray French.
He did.
MBE Man of the Match award. Mm. But there was also a perfect performance from Aaron Brown as well. Initially named at centre, I think he played in any position but centre on the field. He was everywhere on that field, wasn't he? And a special mention as well to Josh Guzdek, originally named at fullback. He's been playing fullback all season for Sheffield, played in the centres for much of the game. And I've name checked him before, but Corey Makelin, is he the first American international to have scored at Wembley?
Got to be, hasn't he?
I think it's got to be. That's a very short list, I think. But I mean, I thought Sheffield were particularly good value for this second half.
I thought Widnes was disappointing second half. Widnes were 12 and a lot, weren't they, in the first half? But then Sheffield got back into it. Then Widnes had the lead at half time at 18-12. It was a thoroughly entertaining first half.
It was, action. You had Harrison Hanson going over after 14 minutes, Christine following up just a couple of minutes later, and then Gilmore scoring that third try just out from half time. In response, Thackeray got a bit of a controversial effort where he appeared to pinch the ball in a two-man tackle.
No, it didn't appear he did.
But we didn't have replays. I was watching it on TV and I couldn't see a replay of it, sadly. To give a proper opinion, and it didn't go to the screen because there wasn't anybody there operating it.
They've all gone on, that's why.
Brown had also scored his first try of the game as well after 22 minutes, 18-12 like you mentioned. And I thought that this game was won in that 5 or 6 minutes after half-time when the Eagles really stepped it up, didn't they?
They did, and when they got the points on the board, again, like St. Helens, Widnes were chasing the game, they were trying stuff that was never going to happen for them, and Sheffield just seemed to benefit from it and get more of a foothold and get more points on the board, and it ended disappointingly for Widnes. But Sheffield, the Eagles, one or two people might say, "Oh, it's just a tin pot trophy," but you tell that to the Sheffield fans and Sheffield players who celebrated like they had just won the Challenge Cup.
Listen, it's 21 years since Sheffield fans last went to Wembley. You cannot take that one away from them at all. And I would be saying the same had Widnes won this trophy as
Widnes took 6,000 down there,
which is fantastic. It's absolutely brilliant that Widnes were able to take 6,000 down there. I think even Sheffield had shifted something like 1,500 tickets, which if you look at the home crowds, it's probably double the amount that they would normally do. This cup as well, more importantly, has been going around all the sponsors since in Sheffield, so they've all been having all the pictures taken. I've seen plenty on social media. This could be the making of Sheffield again. This could really put them on the map, and this is something that Mark Aston, certainly when I spoke to him after they won in the semi-final, he was hoping that type of effect would happen. I think he's got a good squad there as well, to be honest, as Mark, and I think that they will certainly move on from this. I thought Joel Farrell was particularly good in the back row, and also the winger Ryan Miller. There was was more than one occasion he had runs and he was leaving sort of two or three Widnes defenders clutching at straws. I want to praise Widnes for some of what they came up with as well. I mean, it was a big loss for them losing Jordan Johnston after about 4 or 5 minutes.
Didn't help.
So they had to improvise a little bit. They got a lot of minutes out of McGrath Lulai, who perhaps hasn't played a great number of minutes over the course of the season, but did all right. Hep Cahill led from the front. I thought even Jack Owens tried his level best to get involved, but the occasion seemed to get to the young winger Jaden Hatton, who'd been so good the week before at Lee. He scored a couple of brilliant tries against the Centurions, and unfortunately it was one of his errors which led to a try.
We were talking after the game, Widnes played brilliant against Lee but just couldn't replicate it in the second half against Sheffield. They showed signs of it in the first half,
definitely,
just couldn't replicate it for the rest of the game. Maybe it was because of the fact they lost Jordan Johnston, so they had no really, they didn't have hooker.
No, they didn't. I mean, Brad Walker went in there, did a bit, and then I think Tom Gilmore also took over that position for a little while as well, for about 10 or 15 minutes. And you're right, generally they struggled to sort of, even when they got themselves in front, it looked an uneasy lead, didn't it, by the time half time, and they were so relieved to get in front just before half time. But, you know, I think that was a fantastic occasion. Vikings deserve a lot of credit for what they've been through this season and coming out the other end. And also, as well, Sheffield deserve all the plaudits.
Yeah, both teams and sets of fans enjoy the big moments at Wembley. Will it stay? Is it back? You've not mentioned anything, have they?
They haven't mentioned anything.
You mentioned the fact the Challenge Cup final is moving away from August Bank Holiday to the last weekend in July.
July, yeah.
But they never mentioned the 1895 Cup.
I hope it's back.
I hope it is.
Do you reckon that I could set up a bit of a social media campaign on the open sewer that is Twitter, according to McManus?
Yeah, do it.
Eamon McManus, the open sewer that is Twitter. I could get on there with hashtag 1895 Cup for 2020. What do you reckon?
Get it going.
Right, I will do.
Right, I'll get my phone up now and join it.
Keeping you up to date with everything Rugby League. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the Final Hooter with Adrian Jackson and David Parkinson.
Right, I've had our weekend in London for the Challenge Cup and the 1895 Cup Final. It was all about the league and the race for the top five.
Yeah.
For the league, the teams at the lower end of the Super League ladder, it's all about survival, the scrap to survive, because no one was expecting, with two rounds to play, London Broncos will be so close.
Yeah, so close.
Everyone was expecting them to probably get about two or three wins all season, maybe.
Fair play to London as well, because they've been full value in this Super League campaign, haven't they? I mean,
interesting, haven't they?
Unfortunately, it seems like now they're starting to run out of games and they're a little bit behind the eight ball now, aren't they?
Yeah, need a big win on against Rovers, and if they can turn Wakefield over, my word, who would go? But anyway, round 27 done and dusted. Warrington had a cup hangover, losing that to Salford 22-6. Who for me are a dangerous team, and we're going to be a handful for anybody should they make the top five.
Yeah, I love the job that Ian Watson's doing there. I think he's got him running through brick walls for him as well. Interesting to note that Paul Rowley's there now as well as a coaching consultant.
Looks
settled there, doesn't he, as well, to be honest. Got himself involved. But how good were the second half? It took him a long time to get going against Warrington in that game, but second half, it was the Ken CEO show, wasn't it? Hat-trick from him. Each one of those tries took some scoring and was a bit different from the last, wasn't it?
St. Helens got over the cup upset by defeating Castleford 4-0. Hull FC lost out to Huddersfield. Bit of a surprise, this one. Huddersfield 22, Hull FC 12. So Hull FC not doing their top two hopes any good with that defeat. Huckinson Rovers did their survival hopes a world of good by defeating Catalans 24-6. And Wigan, well, they made it a heartbreak weekend for Warrington, leapfrogging the Wolves into second spot. Astounding, isn't it, to finish there in second spot, defeating Wakefield 24-16. And Leeds Rhinos survival in Super League done and dusted with a win against London Broncos 36-10.
Yeah, just to sum up some of those games, I mean, when was the last time you can recall just a game that only had one try in it?
I can't.
You know, it's a long while, isn't it?
Widnes versus Hull 7-6. That was about 3-4 years ago, I think.
Yeah. I think we did a game, didn't we? Was it between Wigan and Widnes, which was also very, very low scoring a few years ago.
It's like a throwback to the 80s and 70s.
It is, yeah. Just the one try from Regan Grace in that one for St. Helens. But yeah, I suppose you've got to credit the defences of both sides, haven't you?
Yeah. So well done to Saints. They'll be happy with that one. 24th win of the season.
Let's be honest as well. It saw them lift some silverware, didn't it? They've lifted the league
silver
leaders,
salver.
Shield, the silver salver. Gone are the
not
days.
Not going to call it the wheelchair anymore.
Yeah, or the hubcap. I've heard
no,
that.
No, we're not calling it that. It's a silver salver.
It's the silver salver. And didn't they look good?
They did.
Picking it up.
They did. Looked lovely.
Deserved it. They've dominated the league, haven't they? 24 wins from 27 games. You mentioned there about Hull Kingston Rovers, but how bad have Catalan Dragons got over the last few weeks?
Yeah.
Have they wanted a change in coach?
Look like they're all knocking on the door for a top five finish, but they just seem to have fallen away. They're in seventh spot, but the race for the top five, other than St. Helens within there, the top five is not settled just yet, because Castleford have still got a say on matters. But currently in the top five positions, St. Helens, as you've already just mentioned it, Wigan are in second spot, Warrington have dropped down to third, all level on points. It's just points difference splitting Warrington, Salford and Hull. Castleford just outside on 28 points. Can the Tigers muster something up and claw themselves in there?
You know what, I would tip them to do just that, in all honesty.
You think,
Adrian?
So?
Yeah, I mean, they're playing Hull this weekend.
Big game, that one, isn't it?
And the way that Hull have been going, I mean, they either want it or they don't. There's no in-between, is there?
No, not at all.
And that's something that's got frustrated everybody this season with Hull, because we've all seen them be absolutely brilliant, and we've all seen them be absolutely terrible as well. And sometimes we've had mixtures of both in the same game. They're just a complete roller coaster ride. We mentioned about Widnes's roller coaster season. For, you could arguably say that Hull have had that, despite them still sitting in the top five. They've got a lot of work to do there. As you mentioned as well, the Hull Kingston Rovers getting that big, big win and showing the value as well of kicking your penalty goals when it comes along. I noticed that Ryan Shaw, who I believe is up for grabs at the end of the season, he kicks 6 out of 7. There's sure going to be some suitors coming in for his services, aren't there?
All to play for in the relegation scrap. London are not out of it, not yet anyway. Just 2 points behind in the relegation spot, but all level on 20 points. Wakefield, Huddersfield and Hull Kingston Rovers. And London, that last game against Wakefield, wow.
Exactly, yeah.
What a game that's going to be. If London can win Rovers on Sunday, what a game that's going to be against Wakefield in the final game. It's an unofficial £1 million shootout game.
You're right, it is. I'm hoping it doesn't get that far for Wakefield, in all honesty, because I think for large parts of the season, they've been good. But again, they've lost a lot of form, haven't they, at the wrong period of time. I can't seem to win that many at this moment in time. Huddersfield, have they just done enough to get themselves out of the situation they
don't
were
know.
Getting themselves in?
All depends whether they win at the weekend, isn't it?
And you're quite right in mentioning the other club, Hull Kingston Rovers, could do themselves a power of good. The fact that they've appointed Tony Smith now in a 3-year contract, I think, will certainly boost their chances. Because He's been at both ends of the table, hasn't he, Tony?
So
he's
top and bottom, yeah.
One of the most experienced operators that there is from a coaching point of view. And if you're wanting a coach for when the chips are down, then Tony's probably your man.
Tony's your man for the chips.
He is.
With mayonnaise on it.
Oh no, don't do mayonnaise.
Salad cream.
Bit of ketchup.
Brown sauce.
Tell you what, you're cultured, aren't you, in Widnes? Salad cream and chips.
Bit of mustard.
How's that happened?
Lovely.
How did you find that out? That's a combination to savour that.
Try it. It's a taste sensation.
There you go. This is the Chips podcast.
Yeah, without doubt. Round 28 sees Castleford lock horns with Hull FC. Warrington will be looking to end that miserable run of 60 feats with a win against Wakefield. Wigan take on Catalans. Hull Kingston Rovers against London Broncos. What a crunch game that one's going to be. London are more than capable of beating Hull KR, you know, if they really want it.
Yeah, I would agree. I just think that Hull Kingston Rovers on their own pitch, they usually know how to play
do,
that,
don't they?
A little bit better. So generally their home form is much better than their away form. And I can still see Hull KR winning that one, in all honesty.
Leeds take on Salford, the informed team, Salford. And St. Helens take on Huddersfield.
I'm not sure about the Salford one, you know, because they've got a lot of history and bad history over at Headingley, yeah. You know, where I think it's something like been 20 years since they last got a win there or something like that. They've not got a particularly great record. So I would actually, I think Leeds are starting to play some good stuff. Unfortunately for them, it's at the wrong time of the year. They would have been hoping for this maybe somewhere near the start, but they've got the survival that they wanted, haven't they?
While we're on about the last round of Super League in 2 weeks' time, round 29, Huddersfield take on Catalans, Hull versus Saints, Leeds versus Warrington, Wigan versus Castleford, Salford versus Hulkington Rovers, Wakefield versus London.
There's some big ones there, isn't there?
There isn't. There's some tasty games to look forward to within the world of Super League.
Because certainly looking at that Wigan and Castleford one, that's going to sort out the wheat from the chaff in that top five,
yes,
isn't it? And then, like you said, the other clashes at the bottom, can Hull Kingston Rovers win on the road at Salford? Will London Broncos get the job done at Wakefield? That's entirely possible as well, to
exactly,
be honest.
Because if Wakefield lose out to Warrington, even if London do lose out to Rovers, they're not out of the equation, are they? And Huddersfield have got two tough games though.
I quite like this because, you know, usually people start talking about the relegation running with about 8 weeks left, and there's so much that can happen in those 8 weeks. Do it at this stage of the season, folks. It's far easier to talk about, isn't it?
Keeping you up to date with everything Rugby League. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
If you think that's exciting to talk about, what about in the Championship?
Hang on. Top sorted out.
No, the top is, but we don't know what order.
Bottom
all
sorted
right.
out.
Toronto, yeah, they've done the same talent. They ran away with the silver salver. They've got that in the trophy cabinet.
They've celebrated it twice.
At the stadium over in Toronto, named Lamport Stadium.
Lamport Stadium, yeah.
Probably bought themselves a little cupboard to stick it on. So they've got that one sorted out. Can they get the job done, though? Because Lee mean business, don't they?
Well, they do, but the form's
but
been
so
patchy.
But so does York, and so does Featherstone.
Yeah, Lee's form in particular has been a little bit patchy, deservedly. York,
what do you mean? Like,
what
I'm on about? When I'm on about the mean in business, in the signings they make. I mean, Kevin Brown making his debut for them. You know, there's some quality players within that Lee team.
There is some quality, but it's probably at the wrong end of the season for trying to gel those players into the squad, in all honesty.
That's a gamble. So they're going for it and they're feeling confident they can get it done.
Oh yeah, without doubt. And you know, you've got to credit John Duffy and Derek Beaumont there for, you know, coming up with a plan to try and foil Toronto, because let's be honest, nobody else has come close over the course of the season, have they? But they're going to have to finish as far up the league as they can, and unfortunately against York, from a Lee point of view, they weren't good enough at the weekend. They lost by 24 points to 23.
They are having the season of their lives, aren't they?
Outstanding play from York. They were under the cosh as well, to be honest, with York at one point. You know, Lee had something like five or six sets of possession on the York line, and they just held out. And to be honest as well, with the start that York had to the game, you could arguably say the other way. They should have had three tries on the board in the first 10 minutes. So, you know, James Ford is doing a sterling job. You know that I am really loving this York story that is unfolding over the course of the season. The thing that I like about York in particular is, whereas you've got like a Lee who are starting to look, and they've signed players with this end of season in mind, York are doing it with the same tried and trusted squad that actually got them promoted out of League One. So they are doing some tremendous stuff. James Ford should be in there for Coach of the Year for me.
Good shout. Other winners in round 26, other than York defeating Lee, Toulouse, too strong for Dewsbury, winning that one 42-14. Toronto got the routine victory over Barrow, which condemns Barrow back to life in League One next season, losing that 62-8. And then the action moved over to the Sunday. Batley lost out heavily to Featherstone Rovers 64-0.
Surprised me, that one.
Last game for Bradford at Alstall. Ended with a 30 points to 10 victory against Sheffield Eagles. 7,500 were at that game, by the way.
Do you think we should talk a little bit about this old Bradford situation?
Oh, we've gone forever, couldn't we?
Should we do a podcast special next time?
Yeah,
right?
Maybe get some Bradford journals on there to give us some inside knowledge about what on earth is going on. What are they thinking by moving out of Bradford to Dewsbury for next season?
It's an odd situation, isn't it? But like you mentioned, great win for them. Great to see so many people there.
Yeah, Halifax 58, Rochdale 0.
They've had a disappointing season, haven't they, largely, of Halifax.
Yeah, Lee we've already mentioned it, and Widnes securing, well, it was already secured championship survival, got an impressive victory against Swinton Lions 36-28.
And nice to see Chris Dean getting a good send off. He seems too young to retire, but he's announced his retirement.
Yeah.
He's 32, is it?
32, yeah.
I thought he was younger than that,
no,
to be honest.
He's been around for years, Chris.
Wow, right, okay.
32 years of age. League One, all still to play for as well in the race for the top. Coventry lost out to Oldham, 50 points to 6 left, and the chances of world are good. Doncaster, big win against Keighley, 48-12. Workington coming up, the winners against Huntslet, 30 points to 16. Big win for Newcastle Thunder, 46-22. Whitehaven running away with it against West Wales, 74-6.
Top spot still up for grabs, like you mentioned. Oldham breathing down the neck of Whitehaven with just one round to go. So any points for Whitehaven and they will secure that championship. Oldham could still snatch it. The rest of the playoff position looks kind of clear, to be honest. Newcastle can't get any higher unless Oldham lose at the weekend. Huntslet, Doncaster and Workington find themselves a little bit off the eight ball. Sadly for London Scholars, after occupying a top five spot for much of the season, they've slipped out of contention over the last few weeks. But North Wales Crusaders having a reasonable finish to the season as well.
Damaged them early doors in the season for them, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. They picked up quite a few losses. This coming weekend, this season, Betfred League One, Coventry take on Whitehaven, so you would anticipate Whitehaven lifting the trophy after that one. North Wales at home to London Scholars. Huntslet against Oldham, which is no foregone conclusion for the Roughheads. Keighley Cougars take on Newcastle Thunder, and this should be a cracker. Workington against Doncaster.
Ooh, they've had some
great clashes over the last couple of years, haven't they?
Yeah, haven't they? Yeah. So in the final round of the Championship, Toronto take on Leigh Centurions. Featherstone are at home to Toulouse. Two cracking games. Them two are going to be on Saturday. Mm-hmm. On Sunday, Barrow take on Batley. Dewsby take on Widnes. Can Widnes get their first win in Yorkshire of the season?
They've
not won over the big hill all season.
Wow.
Halifax take on York City Knights. Rochdale versus Bradford. Swinton versus Sheffield.
Yeah, interesting end to the season. And there's still a little bit of jostling, isn't there?
There is, in
the backfield.
Certainly in the playoff places.
Yeah, but also as well, you know, Halifax currently sitting a couple of spots outside of those playoff spots. Swinton could still overtake them with a win, in all honesty, but it's point difference, I think, which should come to.
I know Super League's going to get all the publicity and everyone's talking about who's going to finish in the top five, who's going to get relegated, but it's just as exciting in the Championship and League One.
Oh, definitely.
I've already said it, this season has probably, in all three divisions, been the most exciting one for years.
I think you're right with sort of the various stories that have been written over the course of the year and how teams have gone, because I mean, we had that all with Newcastle Thunder getting rid of their coach after just a couple of games. The new coaching duo there has gone in and sort of settled the ship and got them in a position where they'll challenge for promotion. You're looking in the Championship, we've already spoken about York. Bradford have consolidated, but yet they've got this whole turmoil to come, it would seem.
Well, it's been a roller coaster ride for Widnes, hasn't it? Administration, 12 point deduction, and did well to survive in the Championship.
Yeah, and then you look at the likes of Dewsbury as well, who don't get a lot of publicity, but again have secured their Championship future for another year.
All to play for at the weekend. Good luck to all the runners and riders, and we'll be back talking about it again on the next Final Hooter podcast for lovefootballleague.com.
Across Warrington Hospital.
Across Warrington Hospital. With a bigger variety of music.
This is your Feel Better station.
Radio General.